10, 24, and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to open your word and to learn from you. Pray for the kids as they go to prepare. Pray, Father, that you give them a spirit of attention. And Father, quite honestly, I pray that you give the adults that same spirit, because, Father, they can't be falling asleep in church. We thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2. The Christmas story. I'll be reading verses 3 through 14. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. And this is a familiar Christmas story. Probably going to read it again next week, I'll warn you. Luke 2. Next week, I'm probably going to read it from the Authorized Version, the King James Version. So, Luke chapter 2. Verse 3. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Verse 12. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Amen. Today I want to look over two points that I find in this passage. The first one is concerning our service. Look again at Luke 2, 3 through 5. It says there, "And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee to the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child." Joseph and pregnant Mary walked 98 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. This is like walking from here to Olympia. Anybody ready to take off this afternoon? And I gotta tell you that even with the donkey's help, it seems like a lot for the pregnant Holy Mother of God to walk. Now just think about that. Now contrast that with the account of Philip in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 through 40. As Philip and the Ethiopian were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus. And he passed, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the town. Okay. We can't be exact, but it seems that after Philip baptized the Ethiopian, somehow he was transported about 25 miles and showed up over there. And I've got to wonder, couldn't God have done that for poor pregnant Mary? I mean, if he would have said, okay, Mary, Joseph, beaming you to Bethlehem, they'd have gotten there in time to get a room at the inn. But they didn't. They had to walk. You know, why? Well, sadly, the answer was the same for them as it is for us when we have to face difficulties and large trials. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 say, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. I'm going to read that again because I have to read it like 10 times every time I read it, because I don't like what it says. Count it all joy, my brothers. Must be talking about somebody else. When you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You see, our trials and our labors have a purpose. And the purpose is to perfect us. I don't know why walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem was part of the trial that was working to perfect Joseph and Mary, but it was. There's some things that have happened in my life and in some of your lives, some trials that you look at and you scratch your head and you think, how is this perfecting me? Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There's another passage that, when I'm thinking about our labors in the Lord, there's another passage that comes to mind. It's really a familiar passage for many of you. It's Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now this is a familiar passage, and a lot of us know it really well. And a lot of times we look at that, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Yeah, they'll mount up with wings like eagles. Yeah. That tends to be all we memorize. I think maybe this last part is more important, because though it's a familiar passage to us, what I want us to see is what waiting on the Lord looks like, and we see it from Isaiah 40, 31. That is the wrong slide. I think.
40, 31.
Slide number 8. There we go. Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Waiting on the Lord is not parking our posterior on the couch. Waiting on the Lord is running and walking. You see, if we are to renew our strength, we must be busy. Everybody that I've ever known in my life who has said, I'm not, there, go again. There. Stop it. I would hate to think this microphone is the new part. Is being busy. Every person that I've ever known who has said, well, I'm just going to wait until God tells me what to do. Every person that I've ever known that's done that has grown into depression. They've grown into sadness. They've bore big burdens on their heart. They've entered into depression. They've just become sad and gloomy. Why? Because waiting isn't stopping like we think of waiting. I'm waiting for the bus. That's not how we wait on the Lord, because the Lord has asked us to do a lot of things. And so while we're waiting on God, there is a lot we can and should be doing. Mary and Joseph walked to Bethlehem because they were waiting for their son to be born. They were serving God by walking. When we face trials and hard tasks, we do not withdraw and hide. We do not complain about things. When people speak evil against us, we withhold the treatment that we think they deserve. We withhold giving them the knuckle sandwich we'd like to. And because we know that not all action is godly action, so we are trying to wait and build our strength. And we get the patience to do that because of passages like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal, is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Now, for a moment, I want you to think. I want you to think about something that's a pain right now that you're dealing with. Somebody, something, some irritation. Maybe it's your car, maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a relative. Maybe you're disappointed in yourself. I want you to think about whatever it is. Okay, everybody got it? For this light momentary affliction is preparing you for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Whatever your problem is, look at it not as a thorn in your side, but look at it as a light in your path, guiding you into the ways of God. The second thing that I want you to see this morning from this passage comes from the angelic words. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now, look at these three phrases. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. And look down to verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Now, in our world today, is there fear? Is there bad news? Are there times of great sadness? Is there peace on the earth? We do have to say that there is still fear, and there is still bad news, and there is still sadness, and there is conflict. So what gives? Angels proclaimed not to fear, and that there's good news and great joy and peace on earth. Then why do we still have fear and bad news and sadness and conflict? What gives? Well, what gives is we need to have the eyes of angels. We need to see life like the angels see life. We need to speak like the angels spoke of the peace and joy and good news that exists here without fear. Consider what the scripture tells us. Now, if you're taking notes, I've got a bunch of verses here, and there's still just the tip of the iceberg on this topic. But James chapter 5 and verse 15 says, And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, the angels knew something that we tend to forget. That the prayer of faith will save this one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. See, there's no question about the results of prayer. Good things will happen. When we look at it with our human eyes, we want to see results. We want to take our prayer request, put it in the microwave, hit the add 30 seconds, open the door and pull out our answered prayer. God's timing is not our timing. Troy read a passage of scripture this morning. I thought I would just pick up right the passage right before. Troy read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He started reading at verse 9. Let me read verses 1 through 8. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace, a time for you to get your way, a time for you to not get your way, a time for you to feel good about your day, a time for you to feel bad about your day. There are all these times going on. But 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Does that describe you? That even though everything around you is collapsing, even though you can't believe Donald Trump got elected, no matter what's going on in the world, even though what's on the outside is wasting away, what's inside is being renewed day by day. If what's inside is growing stronger and stronger, for this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond comparison, as we look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And we are being renewed. Where? In the unseen place. Because what you can see is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. So look at your heart. Is it being renewed day by day? The angels had eyes that looked beyond the peasant family that had just walked 98 miles. And we must not let our eyes be stuck on the problems of today. We must let our faith in God set us free. I don't know about you, but I think, all things considered, I'm a pretty normal guy. I think I have a pretty normal life. I think, you know, I finally did get my cast off my foot, and my foot's swollen a little, you know, so when I step on it, it feels funny, and it kind of makes me limp. Not because it hurts, but because it feels funny. So, you know, and sometimes it's like that with life. We're kind of going along, and we're going through life, and there's not really a problem, but it just feels funny. It feels funny when somebody looks to you and says, hey, Dad, I need some advice. And you're thinking, huh, me? I don't know what to say. They're like, Dad, I need some help. I want to tell you something, Dad. God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, selected you to be that kid's dad. Take it seriously. Moms, works the other way too. If God thought you were capable, stand up, be capable. James 1, 6 through 8 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Don't be the double-minded man. If you are a dad, a father, be that man. Stand up. Be called for. Be counted. If you are a mother, stand up. Be that woman. Be counted. Be called for. You say, but it's hard. I don't know what to do. Pray more. Go to the library, check out a book, read about it, educate yourself, call a friend, say, what do I do? You're older than me. Don't say that to your friends, but you're more experienced than me. Don't say that either. Say, you always give such great advice. There you go. So that's what you need to be saying. Because you need to see yourself not as a whipped pup who's barely making it. You need to see yourself as a mighty lion whose father is the God of this universe. You see yourself like that, you will see yourself as someone who cannot lose, who cannot be defeated. Though everything's falling down around you, you're still fine. Because Your circumstances don't define who you are. God defines who you are. 1 Thessalonians 5:8-16 says, rejoice always. By the way, that's an entire verse of the Bible. We always say Jesus wept is the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, that's John 11:35. And, you know, for the number of letters it is. But I want to tell you, this is also just two words. Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always. In case you're wondering what that means in the Greek, it means rejoice always. It means all the time. How are you going to pull that off? Verse 17, three words. Pray without ceasing. You say, well, you've got to talk to other people. You can't spend all your time talking to God. No, what you've got to do is learn how to pray to God while you're talking to other people. This is the original multitasking. Pray without ceasing. And then there's verse 18. Now think of this. When you've just learned that, you know, that your child is struggling with addiction. When you just found out that your 401k turned out to be a number much smaller than that. When you found out that your car that you bought that cheap insurance for turned out that it's not really good insurance at all, and you wrecked your car. And when your whole life's falling apart, when you got a leak in your roof, and it's this time of year, and you're like thinking, oh, I'm going to have to blue tarp this thing. Then where am I going to get the money from in the spring? So, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And then to rub salt further in the wound, verse 18 starts, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is, you wonder what the will of God is? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I don't know about you, it's kind of hard for me to rejoice and feel prayerful and thankful when the water is running in the house. But we can, because Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called for these words. All things. Sink overflows? All things. Roof leaks? All things. Flat tire? All things. Death? All things. Rape? All things. Say, how is this possible? I don't know. I'm not God. I just know that Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. And what we cannot see, that's where we initiate faith. Because faith is out there. If we will grab onto it and if we will hold onto it, we will find victory. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you that for many of us, our biggest needs are ones that are in our hearts concerning our families, our loved ones. As we're approaching Christmas time, and you know, and if you're like me, you set your budget, and we're going to spend this much money on Christmas, and we only have 3 gifts left to buy, and we've spent this much. Okay? It's like, how'd that happen? I don't know. We should have just had 1 kid. My God, our God, will supply every need. So I can rejoice always. I can pray without ceasing. I can give thanks in all circumstances, because our God will supply every need. I can pray a prayer of faith with no doubting, And I'm not going to be like a wave tossed by the sea, because our God will supply every need. See, I don't have to worry about these things because God's not maybe going to send Jesus. He did it. It's not something that he's talked about doing. It's something that he did do. And what he did when he sent Jesus as a peasant, he opened up the kingdom of God to people who were peasants. So it's no longer for the aristocrats. It's no longer reserved for those who are physical descendants of Abraham. Now it's open to all who will believe. Do you believe? Believing in God is simple. It's believing in the contents of this book, that this is the story of God for us. Well, I hear there's mistakes in the Bible. Yeah, I hear there's mistakes in how people read it too. Let your light shine this Christmas in such a way that when people look at you, they see God. And all you have to do is stand up the position that you're in and walk in faith. If you're a father, be a father. If you're a mother, be a mother. The same is true with brothers and sisters, and right on across the board. The same is true with friends. But ultimately, we've been called, those of us who believe, have been called to be saints. And every time I hear somebody say, "I'm no Mother Teresa," I want to slap them, which reminds me, I'm no Mother Teresa. But we are all called to be saints. Start the process. It'll get easier as we grow. One of the best ways to get this process going is to get off the couch and start doing some running. Start doing some walking. Start telling some people what you believe. Do what you know to do. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to thank you for your love for us. There's so much, Lord, in this Christmas story. There's so much, Lord, in what these angels said that we need to learn, that we could be more like them and have voices that shout, Lord, about the hope that's in you. We just want to thank you, Father, so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for this message of hope that lies in your gospel. Help us, Lord, to remember that we are your ambassadors of good news. Help us, Lord, to not fall into the trap of speaking about all the bad things that are going on. For you, Lord, are good. And we, Lord, have nothing but good to talk about because of what you have done for us. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for one another. And above all, thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.